Hello, and welcome into Bourbon and Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. I'm Carrie. As always, I am joined by Rob.
Thanks for joining us.
John.
Hey.
Sean.
Hello.
And back again in the fifth seat is Chad. He loved it so much.
Chad.
He had to come back,
Chad.
Man.
Is he our first repeat offender?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
That's
is.
Right, because Kyle's not been back.
No.
He was so special.
Yes.
He keeps bringing good gifts. So,
I
yeah,
know.
Absolutely.
Yes,
he just keeps bringing the bourbon. So, you know, we're definitely all about that for sure. But this is going to be a really interesting show because... you know, we're drinking bourbon, but this is the rye show. So that's going to be a lot of fun, I think. Because there is a difference between, you know, regular, what people think of regular bourbon and the rye. So, yeah. I have zero idea what is currently in my glass because I was getting all this set up and we've got four bourbons on the table right now.
They are not bourbons. They are rye.
Okay, they're rye. Yes. See, I'm already screwing it up. But yeah, I have zero idea what's in my glass because I had to, as the technical producer, I had to get all the equipment set up.
Well, you had help. Come on now.
Well, yeah, you all plug things in, but you know, whatever.
So what we're starting here with is this is the Whistle Pig 15 Year Straight Rye. This is actually the only one that I brought that's not from the U.S. of A. This is from Canada, which may or may not be a shithole country. I've never been there, so I can't
really speak to that. Shithole countries, things, please.
It's 15 years. I find it to be very approachable. It's tasty. The nose is great. Pretty soft. The difference between rye and bourbon, for the most part, is rye. It's 51% rye. It's the dominant grain in the production or the mash bill.
And that's opposed to like corn. Or rye or corn or wheat.
Right. So there are a lot of bourbons out there that are high rye bourbons. They usually have 30-ish% rye. But to be a rye whiskey, it has to be 51% or more as the dominant grain. And some that are really high rye, there are some that go up in the maybe 90s.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They definitely taste different. They're definitely spicier.
Yep.
Booker's Rye was one that was sought after when it first came out, and it tastes more like a high rye bourbon. But these are all traditional ryes that we'll go through today from various producers, distillers, and they're quite good.
So we got Whistle Pig on the table. What are the other three that we have? I know we have Kentucky Owl, which is that's an interesting one to me because that's a blend, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, most of these are going to be unless they're designated as single barrel. And again, there's no real definition of single barrel, small batch. There's no legal definition, so there's always some gamesmanship there. But Kentucky Owl, it's a blend or a batch. Same thing. This is Smooth Ambler's Old Scout Rye. It is also a batch. And I'm not sure about this one, Redemption. It's probably a blend.
Yeah,
or a
I
batch.
Think that is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, batch. Yeah, it's a batch.
I know Kentucky Owl and the Whistle Pig. I know those are the price points on those are pretty hefty, just from what I've seen. What about the other two in terms of price points?
Well, the Smooth Amber, this is the $7.99 rye, and it came out, it was on the shelves for $25, $30 when it first came out.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
reasonable.
When Smooth Amber started taking off through their barrel pick program, these kind of became extinct. So they're now $150 to try to pick them up secondary. And they're good. It's quite good. It's my favorite. Yeah. My buddy Aaron Neff, who is a charter member of the EOB Bourbon Group with us. He sent me some just a sample because I didn't think I would like it either. I had no plans on ever liking it. Tasted it, fell in love with it. It's amazing.
Nice.
Kentucky Owl, the producer, the distiller is actually, it's not known. Dixon Dedman, he does a good job of keeping his sourcers kind of on the DL.
Kind of anonymous.
Yeah. Everybody seems to think that this is 1792 or Barton Juice. It's darn good wherever it's from. And the Redemption is another one of these outfits that there's no distiller that you know of, but they just produce or bottle.
Yeah, I have a bottle of Redemption Bourbon that I picked up, I think about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Mm. It's just kind of one of those that was it was pretty good.
Well, I'm interested, you know, because you just talked about the mash build in terms of being different with ryes and I guess bourbons. So, you know, what kind of flavor profile are we looking at here between the difference between a bourbon and a rye?
Palate to palate, people will taste things differently. With ryes, I get definitely more spiciness. Yeah. I get heat more on the back of my tongue. More baking spices, those kind of things, cinnamony notes. I like it. It resonates more with me than most bourbons do these days. Most bourbons these days kind of fall in the sweet category. Mm-hmm. Ryes are notoriously good for mixing for your Manhattans and things like that. The Sazerac cocktails, they're great for that. If you want that little extra kind of spicy kick.
Yeah, I think the Whistle Pig hit all of those, what you were talking about.
It did.
It's very smooth. I'm very impressed with the smoothness of the Whistle Pig. I am too. Honestly, really.
Traditionally, in a Whistle Pig, they don't reveal who their distiller is as well. But they have all known. There's a company out there that a lot of people may not know this. And if you don't, this is an interesting tidbit about bourbon in the rye world. There's a company called MGP, which is Midwest Grain Products, and they're out of Indiana. And they're probably the biggest non-known name in all of bourbon and rye, because they do stuff like bullet rye, they do Dickel rye, they do anything from High West that you've seen. All these companies, they do some of the Whistle Pig goes there as well. This one, I do believe, this is Canada in origin. All of the Smooth Ambler products that are out there currently, except for their own distillate, are MGP. Redemption Rye, also another one that they get from MGP.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing to think that this company used to be Seagram's, is who it used to be.
Huh.
From what I understand, they only have one yeast strain, and they produce both these amazing ryes and bourbons from a single yeast strain, which is kind of unheard of.
So is rye kind of like the new, like, is that the new thing now? Is that really kind of coming on the scene?
I hope not, but I'm afraid that it is. It might be too late already, because as we were talking earlier, baby Saz is hard to get these days.
I blame Brockmeyer. And if you've never seen Brockmeyer, go watch Brockmeyer, because it's so good. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It also seems like a lot of bourbons are creating their own rye strand, like you're talking about. Traditional coming out. I saw that the other day. I saw a Basil Hayden rye, which has been out apparently for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Jack Daniel's has a rye. Wild Turkey has a rye, and this started what, about 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere along those lines.
Wild Turkey has had a rye since at least probably the 80s, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They actually have an epic rye. Their older rye is actually what's called. It's referred to as Christmas rye.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bottle. It's green and red. It's really pretty. It's gorgeous, but it's got that same thing we've talked about before. It's older wood. Different distillation times and proofs coming off the still. It's amazing. But their product that they have out there now today doesn't really speak to me, but at $19.99 a bottle, I don't think it's supposed to,
Exactly. Yeah.
So in terms of price points, and what we have on the table, obviously a couple of them are those the really higher price points, but if somebody's looking just for kind of like to get into the rye, if they've never had a rye, what would you kind of recommend in terms of like something that I could find at the liquor store that would be a decent, $20 to $30, $40 bottle range?
Yeah, that's a great question. Bullet rye is out there. Some people have been Dickel rye again. I can't knock on Tennessee because it's a rye is not a bourbon, so I don't have to get into that whole argument. Willet, there's a 3-year rye out there that's readily available.
I do like that Willet. The Willet is very good.
The 3-year. Yeah, and it ranges in price. I've seen anywhere from like $27 all the way up to $42.
John, have you had that one?
I have not.
I haven't had that one.
Willet is known. They've got some of the most epic ryes ever made. They've got the Willet 25-year 100 proof and the Willet 24-year 110 proof. Those things command buku bucks, and they're amazing. They're tears of Jesus.
Right?
There's some others out there, Rittenhouse rye, those kind of classics, vintage rye, those kind of things. They're all fantastic. Some of them are harder to get. Some of the Thomas Handys, the THH that comes out as part of the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. Great. Barrel proof, though. Pretty rowdy. The older Sazerac 18s are great. Nice and smooth for a 90 proof. And even Michter's has had great success with not just distilling some of their own stuff. I don't think that they do still. I think they're buying it on the wholesale market. But they put out some great older Michter's 10-year straight rye, as well as a couple 25-year Michter's rye that are fantastic.
So we talked a little bit on the last episode, kind of like bourbon trends for 2018. So what do you see kind of being, is rye a trend for 2018, or kind of where do you see the market going for this year?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, I'd say the market is still going to a position where there's completely less supply than there ever will be demand. I don't know when that'll let up. It's interesting what things are changing and moving right now. It seems overnight, Bourboner, a website and kind of a fan web page, did a poll, and all the users voted on their Facebook page or whatever. And then just instantly when they released the article about it, things like the Four Roses Al Young just almost doubled in value.
Wow.
So it could be the fear of missing out thing. I don't know. It's really, really, really crazy time to be into it. Some people are saying that, you know, the end is near. Let's cut and run, right? Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, because like I keep waiting for the bubble to burst on it, and it just hasn't yet. It's amazing to me how it's just not, like, it just keeps going.
It seems to just continue to grow and grow and grow, and then you add on the element of the rye. It doesn't seem to be stopping anywhere in the near future.
Right. I guess we'll have to switch to scotch. Okay.
I got no
why,
beef with scotch.
God, why?
I got no.
I don't know about that.
I got no beef with scotch.
Maybe we do a gin episode.
Gin and rowing.
Sean and I are going to have to do a smokier, the peatier, the better episode.
I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
We'll just have
watch
to do
John
a...
and Rob just turn green.
Yeah. Yes. I'll try to be out of state for that episode, right?
I'll try to be out of the universe.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, though, Sean, you posted something on Instagram and Facebook this week that I think they should bring back. I mean, we're talking about the trends and kind of trends for 2018 in bourbon, and I'm telling you, Scotch bourbon toothpaste.
I would buy it by the truckload.
I'm about it. I'm all about it.
It was like six proof or something.
I mean, it was made with actual
six proof toothpaste.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And it was what, 19? It was 1960s?
No, it was earlier than that. It was in the 30s. It was 30s? Early 20th century.
Was it during Prohibition? No, because that's the only reason I can think of for
all the human resources professionals out there who listen to this show. I'm sure there are many who are probably just dying right now.
I know.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, how many complaints can you take to HR?
It's alcohol. It would kill all the germs. Your mouth would be fresh.
I think my favorite part of the advertisement, though, and we need to repost it, is the fact that it said rinse with cola.
Yes.
I love that.
Because nothing's better for your teeth than cola. I mean, yeah.
8 out of 10 dentists recommend rinsing with cola.
Yeah.
But I had bourbon toothpaste. I don't care if I rinse with cola.
Well, that's true. Clearly, hygiene and longevity of your teeth are not your issue.
Yet again,
if tooth retention is not your thing,
see, there you go.
Then some bourbon toothpaste with cola rinse.
I'm bad.
Why would you just not use your Crest or Aquafresh or Colgate and then go ahead and have a bourbon and Coke and ruin that flavor as well?
No. It's Coke. It will not ruin the flavor.
It's cola. Specifically cola. I think it's what the advertisement says.
What do you say on your other podcast? Patent pending.
Patent pending. Absolutely.
Bring that back.
But no, it's brilliant. I mean, you have a hangover, brush with bourbon scotch toothpaste.
You know, because you have hangover mouth and all that stuff, you brush with that, it'll just help you out.
Forget the Bloody Mary.
It just blends right in.
What is this hangover mouth you speak of?
I've never heard of that.
I mean, I love it. I think they should bring it back.
I think so too.
I'm for it.
I'm looking at the ad now. It's
yes.
Like brushing 3 times a day. 2.5 ounce tubes flavored with the real thing, scotch or bourbon.
Yeah. Okay.
Night before feeling, on the morning after.
I think parents are going to be super excited about this idea.
And it was $1 a tube.
If I had 6% toothpaste, I would probably brush 3 times a day.
I'd brush more than that.
I'd probably go through a tube a week.
No, officer, I just brush my teeth.
Now, here's the thing. The name of it is called Jigger. Jigger.
Nice. Who made
awesome.
It? Who's the company that produced it?
It didn't say.
It didn't say
I'll
the company
some
produced
of my,
it was.
Information professional research and find that out for our next episode.
Yes, you should. Absolutely.
Does the toothpaste, if you swallow it, like kill people? I'm pretty sure.
Not this.
This is not going to kill you.
Because
it's got
you.
Scotch or bourbon in it, son.
I think you can swallow that.
But it does say in the ad, rinse with cola, does it not?
It does.
Yes. Rinse
That's
with
what
cola.
Everybody wants is some smoked peat in their mouth the first thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of my soul just died even thinking about
it. It would make the information professional seeking awesome.
When you get done with that, you light it with a Chesterfield? Where does this go?
And your monocle.
To seal it. In your enamel.
Right.
Yeah.
There it is.
I want hard smoked enamel.
Hold on. I looked at the picture before we move on.
Okay.
It was Greenland Studios in Miami, Florida.
All right. Well,
so I'm thinking we can bring this back.
P&G, P&G, if you're listening, man, hook it up because it would, and you could make a rye version. I mean, there could be a variety,
there
right?
There is, right now, there is that renaissance of bourbons and rye, so
exactly.
Hey.
Where does it stop?
Right? Yeah. Where, that right there.
Bubble ain't bursting anytime soon. Toothpaste. Well, you know, apparently, it's not going to matter because we're all going to need the bourbon toothpaste when Oprah becomes president.
Oh, my God. Yes. You get a vote and you get a vote.
And bourbon toothpaste and you get bourbon toothpaste. Bourbon toothpaste.
One of her favorite things.
Exactly. There you go. So my question kind of to the group this week, which I thought was really interesting is, all right, so who would you want for your celebrity president? If you had any celebrity in the whole entire world to pick, and you know what?
Sans the current executive.
Yes. Right. And screw it, you know what? At this point, they don't even have to be a U.S. citizen. I mean, really, that's where we are. So who would it be?
I'm going with Antoine Dodson. You know, internet fame.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. They're raping everybody out here.
I'm a little concerned.
Coming, hide your kids, hide your wife.
I'm
a little concerned that I knew who that was. Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park. See, he's coming in your window.
That is a brilliant, brilliant impersonation.
Somebody like that.
I love it.
Hide them, they coming.
You are an idiot.
Hide your kids, hide your wife, because we got a North Korean dictator that's going to launch a nuclear bomb up in here. So hide your kids.
Look him up in here.
Put him in a storm sewer, because, that's where we are.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.
And then you do, and then, that's brilliant.
That's good.
And then, of
that's
course, good. There's an auto-tune remix.
Oh, that's good, too. Yeah, State of the Union and auto-tune?
Oh, my God,
that would be epic.
Oh, yes. Oh, so I think that's the title of this episode, State of the Union auto-tune.
I think so.
I've got to write that down right now.
I want to be there when Nancy Pelosi hears it.
So, Sean, who you got?
Who I got? Oh, this is hard. So
it's kind of hard to follow up on Antoine Dodson.
You know, I did.
You came hard out of
you game. Did. You just laid it down. Since I'm a big fan of this band and people think I shouldn't be at my age, I want Dave Matthews.
Oh, wow. I'm going to.
Okay, I like Dave Matthews' band. I ain't vote for him.
I'm going to be
it. Why? I just got my periods.
My uterus is hurting right now.
What's your reasoning?
Because he would be calm. He would just sit there and smoke a bowl so all day long. So, and he would get on the guitar, and him and Tim Reynolds would noodle out world peace. It would be on the chain.
So like the State of the Union would be at Red Rock.
Would that not be epic?
That would be worse than this.
That would be epic.
This ended up taking me a lot longer than I thought it was going to take to figure out who I wanted to run for president. I went a little more logical here, and I went with Tom Hanks.
Really?
I felt like that was a solid decision. Oscar winner, seems to be involved in a lot of causes. But it's a logical choice. You can go safe.
So did you consider anybody else?
I considered a lot of people. I mean, I even thought, you know, for just a moment, would Oprah be that horrible? And I don't know.
She makes good soup, I hear.
See, and everybody likes good soup. But I was looking at it from more a realistic perspective.
But then we would have Gail sitting in the Oval
Office.
See,
that's it. You're going to have Gail and Stedman, and everybody knows who they are.
And what's going on with them?
Yeah, and nobody wants to know what they're shacking up. Like, nobody can figure it out. Is he going to put a ring on it? Is he not?
Never.
Who's going to
travel?
No.
Why would he do that?
So, John?
Well, I had a litany of choices. I had Gary Sinise. I think he would be good. I had
Lieutenant Dan.
I thought that Harrison Ford, he was good in that Air Force One movie.
Right.
So he has actual experience.
And he's got that whole Jack Ryan narrative, right?
See? I think that's fair.
That dude from the Nationwide commercials, I thought
Mayhem?
He was good. No,
Mayhem?
Not Mayhem.
Oh, Dennis Haysbert?
Okay.
With Serrano, Pedro Serrano.
He was president in 24.
Yes, he
Pedro
was.
Serrano
Pedro Serrano
should be president.
I say F you, Joe Boo. I do it myself.
Yes.
Pedro for president 2020.
See, I was all about Clint Eastwood, even though he is older.
He's a damn old.
He's pretty old. I mean, he's up there. But you know what? Again, no nonsense. Guy's just gonna be like, screw you. screw you.
I frankly think too that like I would vote for Don Rickles' head. Like if you had Don Rickles' like reanimated head,
like in Futurama.
Yeah, head was in a bucket, and Nancy Pelosi like brings it out and plops it on the stadium on the lectern, and then he starts to talk.
I'd vote for that. Don Rickles' head. I would absolutely.
I just want to say politics is not in a good place right now.
No,
and that's why we don't technically discuss it on this show or Girls Beer Sports. But the bottom line is, I just thought it was an interesting question because this is where we are now.
I'm just offended that Chad's uterus hurts now.
Right.
You know, things happen. You know, we're kind of with the American Idol thing. But, you know, speaking of American Idol, ABC has picked up American Idol. They have American Idol now. And, you know, I guess if there was an American Idol, like, for the presidency, which again I think is where we're going. Forget voting on in November.
Terry Crews, what's that movie he was in?
What Owen Idiocracy.
Wilson? Idiocracy. Yes. That's where we are.
That's where we're going.
So should voting be on like your app, like basically your phone or your laptop or your iPad? I mean, is that what we're getting to?
Yes.
Is to where
yep.
like in American Idol style, it's one vote per person per day. That basically is tied to your account on Apple.
Yes. Or like it could that. Be tied to your account, you know, on 12OunceSportsRadio.com. Because, you know, that's where we are. We're absolutely on 12OunceSportsRadio.com. And not just us, but all, again, I cannot say enough about internet radio. I really can't. It's awesome because the community's so supportive. I mean, seriously, it really is super supportive. But there's so many great shows out there that are being produced, you know, just like we are in a freaking kitchen in Lexington, Kentucky. But yeah, just absolutely.
Or are we?
Mm-hmm. This is true. That is a statement.
I don't know. I don't know what pill I took today.
The red or the pink blue.
I took
a pink one.
But seriously, go check out 12OunceSportsRadio.com because it's not just us, but they have Democracy Now. They've got comic book stuff, shows that are talking about comic books. It's just not sports. So definitely go check them out.
It's definitely something for everybody.
Absolutely. Before you go and vote the president on American Idol, which, you know, what I was getting to is the fact that ABC picked up American Idol and they're not going to show the crap auditions anymore.
Oh, come on. That's the whole reason I watched American Idol.
You know, just to get you going. That guy
see the guy with his pants on the ground or whatever.
Yes. Or was that William Hung?
Yes.
William Hung is a celebrity because of the audition.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you get your quality 15 minutes of fame, and they're taking that away from people, and that's sad.
I think
it's very
sad. I think it's very sad.
Hashtag fake
news. And again, yes, William Hung. That dude would have never been a quasi-semi 20-minute celebrity without American Idol.
So how long before they bring him back, right? How long before next the ratings
year.
Tank?
When yes. The yes. Yeah.
Well, isn't it supposed to be ending soon? I thought this was...
Oh, they've said that 7 times now.
Well, see, I've only
Paul
watched...
Paul Abdul came back, and it's going to be over. They and then J-Lo came Kelly back, Clarkson and it's going
to
be over.
No, that's true.
But this went over to ABC, didn't it? It's not
it
on
did.
Fox anymore.
No, it's not on ABC. I didn't even know that.
Fox got smart. They cashed it. Chicken.
Yeah, no.
Yes, they did.
I know my parents watched it a lot. I saw a couple episodes, and of course, you know, from YouTube clips and whatever, I saw all the funny stuff.
Right.
And I think if you're taking that out, you're losing a lot of the momentum of the show.
No, I totally agree. I mean, that's why I even watched, and I actually haven't watched it in a very long time, but when I did watch it, kind of like the first probably, three, four seasons until I finally got bored with it, that's why you watched it, especially in the beginning, was for the crap auditions. And, you know, yes, I guess, is it terrible to make fun of me? But you know what? You know what you're walking
into. It's American to make fun of people.
You know, and I don't care. You know what you're walking into when you go into those auditions. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think some of those people knew that, you know, that was their shtick. That was going to be their thing.
Exactly.
You know? So I think that, you know, it worked out for everybody involved. The American got their laughs. The people got their fame. And American Idol got some viewers out of it. So it's a win for everybody.
I totally agree. I absolutely agree. But I guess some of those people could have been eating laundry pods.
That's very true. That's very true.
Which... apparently is a thing now. I don't know. I actually saw this on a news website. I won't say which one. about 4 days ago, and I was like, oh my God, I have got to write this down because this is nonsense and we've got to talk about this. So there's something called the Tide Pod Challenge, and I see it's kind of started gaining momentum on Twitter a little bit with people kind of tweeting about it and talking about it and stuff. But, you know, it's one of these things where, and it's millennials. I'll say it. It's mostly millennials, but, you know, they basically, you know, and there's been a lot of news stories out there in probably like the last 3 or 4 years where kids have gotten into the, you know,
little kids, because it looks like candy.
Because it looks like candy, and they've eaten them, and they've had, you know, had to go to the hospital and things. But now people are eating them on purpose.
I'm not going to malign any generation. I think we had like the choking game or something along those lines. There was a lot of silliness.
What are you talking about,
Rob? I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Okay.
But I was already grown.
But the fact that you know that laundry detergent is inedible and will probably hurt you in the long run, and you're still going to eat the... It's like the stupid cinnamon challenge.
I was
going to
say, the cinnamon challenge was out there for a while.
It's like, you know, we talked on last show, it's this whole new media thing, and this is how you get your 15 minutes of fame. If you, like...
Because American Idol took it away from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there you go. I blame American Idol. We blame American Idol.
You pop one of those pods in, and something, reaction happens, you're on the evening news like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, though, even if you just, like, bite it and ingest any of it, you even if you swallow just a tiny bit of it, you can still have some serious issues.
But I don't think people really think about the issues.
Obviously not.
No, they don't.
People are doing that, they don't think about 10 minutes from there. No way.
So is this just media sensationalism, or is this really a large cohort of people doing it?
I think it's actually become like more prominent in the last little bit.
That's a good point. Is it a chicken or the egg thing where a few people did it and put it on, and then the media caught it and decide, stop doing this, and everybody says, I'm going to do it because
nobody's doing that in my world. But no, now that it's jumped on the...
We're drinking bourbon and rye. We're smart people.
Now that it's jumped on the social media.
I was saving the Tide Pods. Really. That's how we're going to finish. We're going to finish strong.
In the news, it's, you know, people are like, oh, let me try that. So, yeah, I think that's a very valid point. Yeah,
when we have MMA fighters who are former Green Berets telling... Don't do this. Then it has jumped that media shark.
Freaking Gronkowski from the Patriots put out a PSA to say don't eat laundry detergent.
Can we get him to eat some laundry detergent?
Seriously, I mean, you have to act. This is this is like going to the back to the pump and the gas, which I think pumping the gas should just be a life skill that you know, right?
Don't drink the Tide. What you say?
Don't drink the Tide.
Drink laundry detergent. I mean, isn't that just like common sense? I'm confused.
Common sense ain't all that
it
common.
Ain't that common. Yeah, that's right. That's 100% right.
Is it not anymore?
Oh,
I mean,
no.
As someone who works with the public, it is scary.
In a different format, yes. Yeah. I can imagine your common sense.
See, I don't work with the public, so I'm sheltered in that respect.
Let me tell you what, the IQ has dropped as precipitously as the temperature.
Has it?
Unfortunate.
Yeah,
you're using words like precipitous.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
It's dropped a bun.
That's right. like I said, I don't know. There's always some challenge. There's always something, and it's gone back to the beginning of time to try to impress somebody or get yourself out there. While I see it, and if you're doing it, you're not very smart. Whatever. Darwinism.
Oh, see, Darwin I'm with that. Yes. It's that's one of those things. It's the you do you,
pool?
But it's going to thin you out.
Thin that gene pool.
You do you, boo.
It's
hide your kids, hide your wife. They eating Tide Pods up in here.
Right. I'm telling you, he could at least be Secretary of State.
I like the Secretary of State.
And you send him. You send him a
right. Can we revisit that, President? I want to change my vote.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I want Tyrone Biggums from the Dave Chappelle Show.
There you go.
Google that if you
actually. What about just Dave
at
Chappelle?
At least I know who that is.
I like Dave Chappelle. I think Dave Chappelle. I like Dave Chappelle.
I'd be comfortable with that.
I'd be down with Dave Chappelle for President.
Rick James would be good Secretary of State.
Rick James. Bitch.
Maybe Secretary of Defense.
Hashtag Dave Chappelle for President. I'm on that now. I like it a lot. Yeah, I could totally be down with that. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe these kids who are eating these Tide Pods are paying for them with Bitcoin, which we actually haven't talked about on this show yet. And I kind of wanted to talk about, just because it's very confusing. I think people are very confused about Bitcoin. It's an internet currency. It's kind of, you know, what the market dictates, which I'm down with that.
Which is all currency.
Yeah. Gold and you know, whatnot.
Gold, bourbon, meat,
exactly.
Jeans, water.
But you have people that are mining Bitcoin, and
that's where you lose.
Well, that's how you got it originally.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But what does that mean?
It's solving complex mathematical equations, right?
You basically would take your Xbox or some computer and dedicate it to running these algorithms all day and all night.
Right. And the power consumption level far exceeds the money you would make on it now. The whole idea, the way to make money in that previously would be to hack, quote unquote, to take over someone else's servers or server farms and have them do it for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it consumes the amount of energy as a small country for some of these operations throughout the course of a year.
But how do you cash this in? Because again, this is where I think that people, you know, you hear Bitcoin mining, you hear it's like, one Bitcoin is worth $500,000 or whatever. Yeah. But in the end, how do you make money on Bitcoin?
Just a couple of days ago in Canada, they were selling KFC buckets for Bitcoin.
Right. Wow. So, but the transaction fee, you can get a pizza for $10, yeah. But the transaction fees are $40.
Yeah.
So congratulations, you get a $50 pizza, but you use Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. It's like when you go change your currency, there's an exchange rate. So one Bitcoin is worth, I don't know, last time I checked,
$13,000.
$13,000.
Yeah, I just checked.
So you could go buy half a car for one Bitcoin if you're that. So then at that point, that Bitcoin becomes the property of the person you gave it to. So they then have one Bitcoin worth whatever it is, right. And so they can just add it on to it. So it's just like what a dollar is worth or what a peso is worth.
Like or a unit of stock.
Yes, exactly. So that's the thing. Now, when this started, because at the place I work, I did some work on it because we had some students interested. And at that point, you only could mine them, and it was very hard to go buy them or even buy a part of one. But the server farms weren't as big because there weren't as many people trying to do it.
Right.
No.
Right.
So some students did it, and I think one student who worked for us may have actually gotten one Bitcoin. Hmm. And, you know, he kind of asked me, do I want to go in with him? I'm like, you know, I kind of pulled the Warren Buffett. I'm like, I don't know if that's worth, you know, even $50 at that time.
Yeah.
To invest $50.
Well, and now you wish you did, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right, right.
And, and that's my thought on this is it's electronic currency. Well, again, the stock market, but There isn't any tangible thing to it, and if somebody just decides that Bitcoin is worth zero tomorrow, mm-hmm. then it's worth zero tomorrow, but it's electronic.
But you've
got
the same
aspect.
Thing with dollars, though, right?
Yeah. I don't disagree.
We've got a gold standard, right? I mean, it's worth what you think it's worth.
But
that's when I would step in and say it's worth what you say, what the market bears.
Right. Yeah.
I don't disagree, but I don't know who controls that market. I know who backs.
That's the whole point. Unregulated currency. Yeah, that's what a lot of anarchists wanted. Yeah. That's kind of where it started too. Yeah. That whole philosophy.
Well, and apparently it's creating havoc with taxes this year. Is what I've heard. Is
sure, because you don't want to cash out a Bitcoin out of an exchange for over $10,000, because then you have to like claim it or whatever.
Yeah, you
whatever
claim and pay for
threshold
it.
Is too. Right? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I've never
but
seen
it's
that
you know the short
life.
Version of all of it is a lot of math and it's a lot of cryptography. And it's a lot of pain and suffering for somebody, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I've seen the passwords that are like
12
miles long. Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, too. So the Bitcoin ledger, that's what trues it up. It's it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it could take, where it used to take minutes to cash out or do an exchange between two quote-unquote hidden entities, now it could take a half a day to a day.
Right.
Because the ledger keeps going. It doesn't truncate.
Yeah.
Right.
think that's the advantage of this is the technology that allows it to be encrypted and stored in multiple places than that. So a lot of folks are also thinking the blockchain, which is what it's called, has other applications. And, you know, we were talking earlier about voting.
Yes.
If we could
blockchain
voting where all our votes would be secure because of this, then that might work. And that's what a lot of people are working on is using the blockchain technology to maybe exchange your dollars for something else in a more secure format instead of just, you know, the HTTPS.
Right. Yeah. But see, I love the Wild West aspect of it. I love it. I love that.
And so did Pirate Bay too, right? That's that's what powered
it
already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anonymous transactions.
And, and the dark web when you can the buy dark web.
Yeah,
stuff,
that dark web, all that stuff. But I absolutely love the Wild West aspect of it.
Yeah. I like a little more regulation in my life, apparently.
The Rob, libertarian
just,
in me.
You are just all over the place. Yeah. I can't even get a read on you.
No, that's enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Yeah, but
inside of a box of tsunamis.
He's a small L libertarian.
I think that while I understand what you're saying, you know, if you have an entire black market economy,
right,
that's troublesome to me because I don't think that does us a whole lot of good on many fronts.
And you're not wrong about that. But I guess I like the fact that people have come up with this thing on their own without any kind of intervention from any other entity. Again, not to get in too deep into politics on it. And it's working.
Yeah, but to me, again, and slightly different, there's always been a cash economy that nobody knows about. It's, you know, and that was it. It was just bills exchanged.
Yeah.
So it's just taking that idea, that this black market economy, and making it more technical. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that aren't going to have those technical steals. They're still dealing in cash. They're not turning all that money in. So, you know, it's very similar to me in that sense. And that's money that could be, in some sense, kicked back into the economy or given back to the government to spend somewhere else. That is the rightful share of.
You mentioned that government again.
Give money to the government. We never give them.
I could see that. Okay. That's it. We're getting too deep. We're getting too deep into politics here now. But
the big L libertarians.
No. We're not. Okay.
We're going to join forces.
We're just going to move on to sports.
This isn't getting easier.
This isn't going to get any easier. But you know, okay. So I think we have to talk about the national championship game.
Roll Tide.
I say Roll Tide, man.
Roll damn Tide.
I'm Roll Tide.
RMFT. Look it up.
I'm all about Roll Tide. But the thing about, and that was a great game. It was a great game.
Yeah, no, it was a great game. The first half was not so great. I was really like, ooh, Georgia's got this.
Well, if you're a Georgia fan, it was the greatest thing ever.
That
right?
is true. Yeah, Georgia's absolutely. Got this in the bag, and I was really worried.
Shame
that
they had to play two halves.
Yeah, people were just going to say, Georgia took this, and Bama wasn't that good of a team. So it was really nice to see that.
Trust assured, people still
but
say
the
that.
Thing
I know they do.
Bama shouldn't been in that. They didn't qualify.
The thing I want to get to, though, is the conspiracy theories after the game completely abounded because people were putting up videos about how Bama moved and it was offsides and all this. I mean,
human factor.
Let's go around the table real quick.
Okay. I think that instant replay and going back and re-looking at things has gotten out of control. It slows the game down, and I want human error back in the game. And 10 years ago, I would have disagreed.
Preach.
It slows the game down.
Preach. Well, and I would also like to say these were Big Ten refs, and that's the only way the Big Ten was going to be in the championship game.
At least they got to participate.
That's true.
Thank you.
Yes. We were sold a bill of goods. We were sold that replay, both on the NFL level and the collegiate level, would correct the ills of society. That is a total fabrication. It's a total lie. They not only have they compounded the issues of the day, in many cases, they get them wrong. And now, like, you have situations where referees are told to err on the side of the most advantageous play to the team that recovered the ball or had the ball, whether that's a defensive team that takes the ball away, you let them score, and then we'll correct it. But the problem then becomes, and this has always been my issue, if it's the national championship game where ESPN has four different channels dedicated to the game,
and the best
then
one
you
was
have,
the coaches.
Then it was the
yes,
coaches.
Yes, it was. And if you didn't watch David Cutcliffe, I can't help you.
David
Cutcliffe held home
institution.
Why is he not like? Why is he not in my house watching football with me every night? Because wow, I loved him. Sorry, I loved everything about him.
Interrupt me any day you wish. David Cutcliffe held church on the grounds right there. And it was constant, he and he was preaching. But what I'm telling you is, and it was proven by the fact that Major Applewhite, a dude that played six times, he's sitting there listening to Cutcliffe taking notes, trying to be like, I'm going to get a job if I do what this guy says. But in that situation, given all these opportunities, ESPN has 75 cameras. That's fine. The problem is when you play a regular season game and you don't have all those cameras,
right.
You don't have the angle, because it's impossible to get every single yep. angle.
Yes.
You still get, well, we think from this angle, we think we see this, we think we see that. And in that case, if it's not in this, basically, what is a stupid word they use? It's like irrefutable evidence.
Yes.
So now
indisputable evidence.
I was going to say
indisputable.
Yeah.
So now we have to have, well, the call was upheld, and then the people are like, oh, upheld means it wasn't overturned, and overturned means it really was wrong, and it's, you get all this litany of more arguments as to what was true and what was not true. It's crap.
And
just put them back there like.
I really think this has led to the second guessing of their own officiating, which is not good for the game.
Yes.
I think that's a big problem, yeah.
Yeah, and I think golf is finally heading back in the right direction.
I saw that, yeah.
They made that decision. It
people
was the right decision.
People can't call in from their television.
Yeah. Well, that was ridiculous. I saw Tiger's ball move. Like, it moved.
Yeah.
Like, 2 millimeters.
Yeah.
Bullshit. And this you is got a bad
I
TV.
I breathed on it wrong, right?
This is the same nut job that called in saying, I heard a blue-billed loon, and those aren't in Georgia, so you're clearly CBS piping in fake bird sound.
Yes.
Yeah. It happened. Look it up.
But, I mean, what Chad, what did you think of the this whole conspiracy thing or the national?
It's crazy.
You
know. It's gone nuts. To Rob's point a minute ago, I'm all about getting rid of all this replay stuff unless it benefits my team, right?
Yeah,
it benefits my team. But even something as recent as the Winion Gabriel thing. I was there at that game, and I saw it. We were mugged a couple of times coming up and down the court.
Yeah.
And nothing was called.
Just kind of like to preface that is the fact that Texas A&M at the end of the game, Winion Gabriel appeared, and he probably did.
Allegedly.
He fouled the guy at the in the last second
and
with the pass.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say, that's the thing is A&M throws the ball. Three quarters court.
Yes.
You know, it was a little high.
Yep.
The A&M player tries to catch the ball.
Yep.
But the referees in that position, they're watching the action in the background.
Yeah. Right.
The three referees that we have are there.
That's correct.
The third referee is in the front court. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible to see everything. It's impossible.
Yeah,
that's just it. It how much can you officiate? I like a little bit of the human element in it. I don't want everything so mechanized and put on TV so that I have to see every stupid angle and every single call.
And it
makes it a little interesting. It was never about precision, right? It was never about accounting level precision when sports came around. It was, let's do the best contest and do the best job we can trying to analyze it.
And it also slows the game down.
Horrible.
If a team's behind, they get a free timeout.
Absolutely. You're talking about minutes.
Minutes. So, I'm with everybody else. Get rid of it. Replay. I was very happy because Roll Tide, and Nick Saban is the best football coach.
He's in the
late 20th century.
He is a Jedi master.
Nick Saban is the best college football coach in the history of the game.
Of competition now best. Versus when Bear Bryant could recruit
and Newt Rockne's good. It's the same argument I make about Rupp. Rupp was good, but there were 8 teams in the tournament. Nobody spent as much money on collegiate athletics in the past as they do now.
Yes.
These people are funneling cash in there. And Saban, he's the devil.
Still crushing people.
He smells of sulfur. He is an absolute dark lord. But
damn, he gets it done.
You better not miss.
One more thing on that. I still think instant replay has a purpose. I think for scores, things like that. But for first downs, if they spot the ball and you didn't get the first down, live with it. Let's go back to that. Let's go to the plays that really matter. And that's mostly just scores.
I don't disagree with that at all. I thought the game was unbelievable. That game was unbelievable. And again, yes, Saban probably is the devil, but damn, can that guy make adjustments?
Can he
make in-game adjustments? Good Lord.
He's the devil.
And the balls that it took to do that. I mean,
yes.
Georgia had shown them that we
absolutely
will stop your run. You've got nothing.
You've got nothing.
And to come out and say, I've got this quarterback here who's been amazing for 2 straight years.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the balls to put him on the bench.
I was
unbelievable.
When he came out, and I immediately was like, oh, that's a horrible decision.
Thank you.
And that's why I sit on the couch, and he's down there making millions.
And I'm going to tell you, When that kid threw that pass to win the game, I literally was like, What just happened? What I literally, because it was so quick.
It was quick.
I mean, he literally, like, they snapped the ball. He kind of like rolled out. He pumped, and then he threw the pass. And I was like, oh my God, Alabama just won this game. What just happened?
And
I
so we could talk about why can't the Dark Lord get kickers?
I don't know. Because he doesn't care. Because that's why. Because he knows he can win without kickers.
Hush your mouth.
Clearly, that's not true.
He did.
He does not need kickers.
No.
He doesn't need kickers.
I'm telling you, from what I read, he brings people in and they're like, oh, you're good, you're not good, blah, blah, blah. But then if he has to, if he had a kicker, well, if he had a kicker, he would have won more. I'm just saying.
Well, if he had a kicker, it wouldn't have gone into overtime. But you know what?
But look at the other games that he would have won given a kicker.
Yeah. Well.
And I just want to give some props to Jalen Hurts, the way that he was mature about that.
Yeah.
And then
the first one on the field to hug him.
Yeah. And was clapping. Yeah. And then his. Yeah. So I mean,
that's
that was just
maturity, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was all about team there, and I appreciate that. Yeah.
It's part of the process. Yeah. Saban's been lame as process.
The Dark Lord.
So I have to bring this up real quick in terms of sports, because I know that we have a listener out there. Hi, Cassandra in California.
What's up, girl?
What's up?
How you doing?
What's up?
That wasn't creepy at all.
Yeah, that was not creepy at all.
But I know she is super into running. She's super into ultra marathons, and I just had to bring this up because Kelly Agnew, who is an ultra marathon, like he's like on the circuit, like, right? Like people know him. People who are into ultra marathons know him. He has been stripped of some of his titles because he was hiding in a porta potty. He was actually disqualified at Across the Years, which is a race in Arizona, because he circled back to the start finish line after completing a lap. And then he spent 7 minutes in a porta potty, and then he went back out and completed another lap, but he actually didn't complete the lap. And now there's talking about stripping him again of titles.
They can't, you know, unless they can prove he sat in more than one porta potty, they need to leave the past titles alone.
That's fair.
But the current one, yes. The one he was in when they caught him sitting in the John, take that
so,
one.
Number one, what is an ultra marathon? Is that like
it's like 50 miles or more?
So he sat in a shitter for 40 miles.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me?
And we can say that because we're marked explicit, so
yeah.
We're all
so he just sat there.
I guess
like he hit
like
the toilet
7 minutes
with Occupado.
Yes.
Oh, come on, for 7 minutes, you know that is a mile or most at him because he's rolling.
That's true.
Us, that would be like half a mile.
But again, if there are no cameras, nobody's seeing it.
Word.
But apparently he got caught.
So what's going to happen if we take instant replay away? We're going to get people sitting in shitters. Yes.
All of a sudden, somebody runs on the field from a tent going, hey, touchdown.
Hey, touchdown. I caught that on it. I caught that. I was in a porta potty, but I caught the ball.
On their shoe.
Right. But
I got nothing.
You got nothing. You got absolutely nothing.
No, this one I got nothing. We talked a little before about it was the Boston and New York marathon.
The lady
got off the subway and won.
Yes.
Yeah. Run your damn marathons, people. Either do it or don't, and call it a day. That's what I got on this.
But is there this sense of honor in terms of competition now?
See, like, to me, there is.
That's what we're but.
Clearly,
oh,
well, now
like
you're going to hear our landline ringing, so
Wait, we have a
landline? This is news to me.
We still have a landline.
I do, too.
Yes, we do.
I would like to think that there's some honor in competition, but maybe not. If you're cheating on this ultra marathon or whatever, but just play the damn games. That's it.
Maybe you shouldn't be an ultra marathoner if you're the cheat,
I think
right?
so.
Yeah. Once you go back to regular marathoners.
Yeah. Apparently, you can't do 50. 23 is your limit.
26.
The next thing that'll happen, people are going to use expired coupons and pass them off as real.
All right.
Don't they do that already?
Cats and dogs living
it's
together.
That's right. Cats and dogs living together.
Yes.
But it isn't. Aren't people trying to expire coupons already?
GoodRx is the devil. Move on.
Isn't that a thing? I mean, I don't know. I don't know why he would do that. I mean, I guess I know how, because he wants to know. Right. Again, it's all about your 15 minutes at this point.
You're right, but he's a well-known name.
So he is.
So at this point, he has won races legitimately, I'm assuming, or allegedly. So maybe he was just tired.
Maybe he's just eating some Tide Pods and vlogging,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely true.
Yeah,
he had a shot of bourbon. He had to get down before he went off and did his next 20 miles.
Did he win something with these? Like, is there a cash?
Yeah, well, yes, there is cash. So, see, there's cash prizes. There's cash prizes.
I could see where people are like, yeah, we're going to have
to. It was in Bitcoin. Don't worry about it.
Oh, see, there you go.
He wouldn't know how to cash it out.
You got to mind your own, bitch.
Incentivize shitting. That's what it comes down to.
Last topic here then. Okay. So obviously he's wanting to do stuff on social media and Bitcoin and getting paid and whatever. So social media and recruits. What do we think about this? Because I'm absolutely done with people tweeting these 18-year-old kids who you're not playing, you suck, blah, 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 blah. I'm done.
I think any time that you want to tweet something for this, especially for the young kids, you should be positive about it. They should be able to block some of that content. You know, they're coming to your school. Most of them are giving their efforts. They're giving up their bodies. They're giving up everything that they have. And, you know, I think you need to be supportive of these young men and women.
Word. And
not be negative. If you want to be negative, you know, go find some other venue.
I think the internet was made for trolls. I think most of these people are. So if you think about some of the situations, specifically your commentary, I think is tailored to Kentucky basketball. Coaches have even come out and said some of what our fans are tweeting to recruits is hurting the program.
Is that not a violation too? And, Don't get Sandy Bailing on that. As somebody who has season tickets,
I cannot contact a recruit because I'm considered a booster. Despite the fact that all I do is pay, I pay for my seats and there's a K fund component to my parking, but I'm considered, like, for football, I'm considered a booster. So I can't contact a recruit and say anything to a recruit because I could be banned from the program, a la SMU, look that up, Pony XS, 30 for 30.
That was a good one.
No, but I think on that note, I also don't think that the NCAA could regulate all that because there are millions of people out there. Well, so I think that would be very difficult.
But the problem is, the NCAA, thank for you to bring up the devil, they that was say it's not my problem to regulate them. It's your problem as a school. You have to stop them as a school. You have to have a send a cease and desist. You have to do all that crap. The problem is that these guys are like, these are old dudes that bitch and moan at 18-year-old kids, and then these kids retweet them, and then they get put on blast, and people are like freaking out. And honestly, if you're not going to be positive, one of the coaches at Kentucky who stank, he said, you know, when you tweet something, you need to put as a player, dear NFL scout, and then tweet whatever your tweet is. If you don't want the NFL to see what you're going to tweet, don't do it. Well, the same thing's true here. If you don't want to put dear coach whomever, Coach Cal, Coach K, whoever is your favorite coach, dear Coach K, I think this kid sucks because he won't play, then don't tweet it.
Oh, I agree. I think you should be kind and nice to these kids. I do think there's a lot of potential recruiting violations there. And John's right. It was created for a different reason, but the internet has just become the greatest troll-feeding frenzy in history.
Thank you, Al Gore.
You know what? Because it let all these people who used to live in their mom's basement.
Right, there you go.
And
It's so easy to be a keyboard warrior, right? Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
And then when you're confronted with something, you're like, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, but then people sit around and talk about, you know, the bullying on the internet. Well, just don't. You know, have positive responses. Absolutely. Post things that you want people to see. Put your best internet face forward.
Or heaven forbid, be silent.
Yeah.
Scroll past. What's that?
It's better to be silent and perceived as a fool than to open your mouth and confirm it.
Confirm it. Absolutely.
I mean, the internet's gotten so crazy, it's being used as a medium to SWAT people now. Right.
And that dude who got killed.
They charged him today. He finally got charged.
Oh, he got charged.
He got charged. Reckless homicide or something like that because he swatted
and then the police broke in and shot the guy.
Who is sitting in their basement thinking, oh, let me call the SWAT? I mean, and this, I know this wasn't it's the insane. First one.
It was $1.50 bet.
But it was a Call of Duty. Yeah, but they think it's funny. I mean, ha ha ha. Yeah, let's get police, but bang bang on your door. But if it's a, I mean, if you call it in for a serious enough offense, I mean, the
if they're calling out the SWAT team, it's a serious offense.
Right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And there's a lot of cost there,
yeah,
too. And deploy those kind of resources.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's an,
and again, we're not getting too deep into politics here.
It's
but
a cost on your city. It's a cost on you as a taxpayer. It's
a cost on human life, apparently.
You have diverted resources from somebody who could have been injured at that point.
All right, so we got four bourbons on the table.
Rye whiskeys.
Sorry, Jesus, God.
Rye.
All
yes,
right, well, we're marked explicit,
rye whiskey
so
and bad
I can say whatever I want, so
that's
good
fair.
Lord.
That's your other show.
Whatever. All right, so I'm gonna go to my left. Rob, rate
The Old Scout. We started with the Whistle Pig. We already talked a little bit about that. Yes. The Old Scout, I really liked it. It finished a little short for me. It didn't have a lot of flavor after the drink, but it was really good. I thought again, it was a had a little bit of a burn to it, but it finished with that. It was actually really good. I liked it. And then we got to the Redemption Rye,
son.
It was powerful, but not in a good way.
No, son.
So I would like to point out, first of all, thank you, Chad, for coming back.
Sure. Thank you, Chad.
And introducing us to Rye.
Excellent.
Intentional or not, you arranged these based on proof. So we started with the Whistle Pig, 15-year 92. The Smooth Ambler was 99, there you go. The Owl was 110, and then 120 Barrel Proof of Redemption. I thought the Owl was very good. I thought Ambler was very good as well. Whistle Pig, I didn't think was bad. I enjoyed
for
it all
a shithole country. They made a pretty decent ride.
I thought it was
right?
a good, good choice. I
not
really
bad.
Potentially.
Please, Canucks, do not come get me.
And for Rise that I wasn't 100% sure I liked, I really enjoyed these.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Oh, if I had a rate of, I'm a big fan of the Kentucky Owl Rye. It was to me, it was one of the bigger hits of 2017. Yeah, that's what
this
I'm
is batch thinking. One, right? The first,
yeah,
the first
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ride.
Yeah, no, I really
to
liked
use
it.
Precipitously again. It's one of those things that shocked the internet when it came out. It was going to be all the hype when it came out with the new batch 7 for their bourbon. It had a precipitous drop in price, which makes no sense because it's fantastic, right?
Yeah, it is.
I will always remain a Smooth Ambler, you know, Old Scout, $7.99 rye. It's great. It's MGP juice, just as the Redemption. So what you're seeing here is this is proof down to 99, yeah. And the Redemption is uncut at 120,
okay.
Which is a bit rowdy. And the Whistle Pig, I've always wanted this bottle. I've had three of them now, but
the bottle's nice.
Yeah, it looks like UK colors. I love it. I was originally not going to open the one I had, then I decided to open it one night. And I'm like, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a lot more floral and sweet. So, yeah, good stuff, all of them. But there's so many more ryes out there that are even better.
What would be one that you would recommend to try besides these?
If you could get it, Wild Turkey's Christmas Rye. Fantastic. Okay. It's about $500 a bottle.
I don't like any of you that much.
we could all go
if
in.
Y'all bring it, if y'all move from Fort Lewis to Fort Cottle in town, we'll have to go through some epic stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Location.
Well, we got plumbing now at Fort Lewis, so.
We're not moving.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
I'm going to have to agree with what it said. The Kentucky Owl was excellent. The Smooth Ambler was excellent, but I've also enjoyed like their Yearling Bourbon. I find that very good. I've had Whistle Pig before their bourbon offering, but this rye I think is much better.
Mm-hmm.
The one I did not like, the Redemption, it was a little bit too much. Too much. It crushed me.
Yep.
And that's a big, I'm being a big boy admitting that because it, yeah.
It's a big finish.
Yeah, you know, it's a big finish.
But that's a good opportunity for a little bit of ice, a little bit of crushed ice, maybe a little straw, half straw full of water.
Maybe a Manhattan with that?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that
yeah.
might be tasty. No.
You know what? I think I like the Smooth Ambler the best. It's like fantastic. That was so good. Oh my God, that was so smooth. It was smooth. I mean, I hate to use that. You know, the word or whatever that it's smooth, but it was so smooth. The Whistle Pig was good. The Kentucky Owl and the Redemption, they were decent, but I really, really, really liked the Smooth Ambler. I was all about
it. It was
smooth.
Tasty.
It was good. It was so drinkable. It was super drinkable. Like, super, super drinkable.
Yeah.
That translates, she wants the rest of the bottle.
Well,
it's so good. And to think that they used to sit in Liquor Barn for $30 a pop.
Yeah,
and
no,
people would pass
yeah.
on
them. I remember so seeing those for that
great
price
for
now.
That.
Yeah.
But basically everything Smooth Ambler does now that's not their distillate, which this, again, this is all MGP stuff, it's gone. You just can't get it. They've even Smooth Ambler had to stop their barrel pick program because they it's so hard to get.
That's too bad because that rye, that Smooth Ambler rye is very good. It's very good. Yeah. Again,
it's good, but I still like the Kentucky Owl just a little bit better.
I thought the Kentucky Owl was good, but I thought that Smooth Ambler was that was on point.
Would it be
point.
Fair to say that I think the first three that we had, you can't go wrong with.
I would agree with that.
The Redemption, a little careful with that one.
Well, like you say, if you're going to mix it with something, give it a shot.
Okay.
But if you're just drinking it straight, it's maybe throw an ice cube in it.
Smooth Ambler is super on point.
Here's a little water. Let me try that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to hit the button, so... Thank you for listening, as always. And, you can check us on Twitter at podcast BABO. Yes. Okay.
That's it. Somebody's
I don't know why I can't remember that, but yeah. At podcast BABO. Yeah, totally. Check us out on Twitter. And, thanks for listening and appreciate it. And we're going to be back and John and I are going to New Orleans, so it's going to be interesting to see what we come up with.